It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Dr. Paul's in the house, or at least in the state of Arizona. And we have a lot of the activists are out there. They're passing out stuff. They're participating at ASU and Hayden Lawn there. And we're going live. We got Drew out there with his goodies. So we'll go ahead and go right there so you can see what's going on. And what we're seeing on the video is just the full lawn, just full. And well, Dr. Paul's addressing the crowd.
I'm upset, as many other Americans have, dealing with traveling at the airports with the TSA. Now, I know there are other problems. And the other day when I gave my little talk on the House floor, when I introduced legislation to deal with it, for years, decades, literally, I've been complaining about our foreign policy, the stupidity of our foreign policy and how it causes blowback, the stupidity and the weird idea is that governments can secretly print as much money as they want, and it's good economic policy. And we can spend at will and run up deficits at will and tax at will. I've complained about that for a long, long time, and they are very, very serious problems, and they have brought us to this crisis. But believe me, what's going on at the airports and what has happened just recently with these new rules, if we, as American citizens, put up with this, let me tell you, there's not much hope for us. We need to stop this tyranny at the airports. I have the little bill that I introduced, and I am famous for not writing complicated bills. This one was about one paragraph. And what it does, it addresses the subject of sovereign immunity, which is a principle that's been around a while, and it's out of control in Washington, but in particular with the airports. Now, what would happen if anybody in this crowd would do what a TSA agent does? Out in the open, go up and grow pictures and take nude pictures of people. I mean, what is going on here? You'd be arrested, you'd be put in jail, and all kinds of things. But are we going to remain complacent and say, oh, it's the government. They're allowed to do it, and they're making us safe, and therefore we have to accept it. They tell us when we go to the airport that you have to submit because you bought a ticket. And when you buy a ticket, you've given up your rights. People on national television say that and they believe it. Who ever heard of giving up your rights because you bought an airplane ticket? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Live from ASU, Tempe, Arizona, right now in Hayden Lawn. We got the guys out there. They're quicken us.
If we remove the immunity, this would solve the problem at the airport because you can't sue anybody. We have two rules. Government agents can do one thing. You and I can do other things. But one rule in a free society is that it isn't a free society anymore if you have different rules. If government agents can do something and they have certain rules and people have different rules, believe me, freedom is at risk. And it isn't only at the airports where the individuals are immune from perpetuating crimes. But what about the idea of theft? Does government steal? Of course they steal. You know, if you aren't fortunate enough to have an automobile, everybody knows you can't go and steal an automobile from your neighbor because he has two automobiles. Fortunately, we still see that as theft. but they do not see it as theft if you send the congressman to steal the automobile and then he gets political points for it. When it's theft by the individual, it should be theft by the government, and they shouldn't have immunity. So what kind of trouble do you get into if you're a counterfeiter? You know, that's a serious crime. They recognized in the very early part of our history the Monetary Control Act of 1792, the Currency Control Act bill, then they were passed that and they said no counterfeiting. And if you did counterfeit, they gave the death, they allowed the death penalty for counterfeiting. But here today, what do? You would go to jail if you counterfeited a fellow document or a currency, which is fine and dandy. That's obviously fraud. But why are we so complacent to turn the counterfeit machine over to a few individuals, usually one, who gets to counterfeit the currency of the world, the dollar, in secrecy, and they spend it without any supervision? They ought to lose their sovereign immunity as well.
We're going to go ahead and stick with this. I know the quality audio is not great, but I know you want to listen to it.
Individuals in both parties for a good many decades now who totally ignore the Constitution and take us to war illegally, without declaration of war. Why are they allowed to do this? Why do we have a CIA that gets involved in overthrow of governments, rigging elections around the world? Then we sit back and we wonder, why do they hate us? Because we're involved and we're bombing and killing people. You know, one of the big issues going on today is the issue of torture. We now have become a nation known for torturing. Pictures have been out there early on when the Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo pictures came out. We don't see them anymore. Nobody talks about them. Torture still goes on. We farm it out to other countries. But those pictures circulate around the Muslim world. And believe me, they didn't like it. What would we think if somebody was torturing American people around the world? I mean, it would infuriate us. So what do? We find we have the information that came up, and they suggested maybe we ought to look into it, and this administration was supposed to do that. So they started investigating. They had some evidence, and the CIA was involved. And guess what? The CIA destroyed all the evidence. And this administration will not pursue it. They've excused them and said, that's it. We can't find the evidence. There'll be no prosecution. Not one single prosecution. Not one challenge to people who claim that, oh, no, they're not really torturing. But it was a policy. As long as torture is a policy of America, America cannot remain great.
Dr. Ron Paul, ASU, Tempe, Arizona, right now. This is... You know, I want to make sure that people understand. We'll get you some more. They're keep putting up the quicks as we go to these. You know, my thing is I'm glad he's here, and it's all the timing worked out great to where we have a lot of people that are planning for a lot of things, and it's really taken a popular route in the media here, television, radio. Print. I mean, they'll start going on one side, but I tell you, the mood of the people always wins out, and they don't want to be on the wrong side. And I it always comes down to money, you know. I mean, there's always something they can do somewhere, some influence, but it's really permeated the media here to where people are rising up against the man. I'll give you an example. Being an activist for a long time, I always assumed that, you know, my phone is being recorded. If it's not active, certainly it's going in some database somewhere. They can go check it later if they want or something. And you know, I just always assumed that I'm being surveilled, scanned, archived, where I'm driving my car and everything. And that's one thing we had on yesterday. Stu Krohn is an internet privacy security guy that has been predicting this for years at previous summits. He goes, look, man, I'm the guy that helps develop the stuff to do it. I don't think I know. I know. And there it is. So you always just want to be on guard, but you when it becomes inconvenient to people, that's when they complain. When it really affects them personally, and it's affecting them, so they're complaining. They'll be complaining in a big way here next week. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Yeah, just give me a T-shirt. Here, I'll show you. Yep, see? Send me a T-shirt. I'll wear it on air. There you go. That's you got to go to the video and you can see what it is. You know, we've done this kilt thing. I want to talk about this real quick so I can show you this. What happened was we would wear blue face paint and do this Braveheart thing and have our battle paint on and wear kilts and go on. And what I'm showing is a picture from 2000 when we did it in Anaheim, California at the Libertarian National Convention. And you'll see younger versions of Pal Gamble, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix, my good friend Bob Anderson, and myself holding Arizona flags and our face painted blue. And they don't show the kilts here. They got us waist up. But this is something that we went and looked for the kilts, and my wife found them in a box that we had, and now this newspaper clipping was in there, and we go, oh, cool, we'll do that again. I just got called by the Clear Channel Morning Show host, Jim Sharp, and he said that, man, it's just TSA all day, every day. It's TSA. Now, of course, he talked about the meeting that we had here with the Phoenix Police Department, and he goes, that went pretty well, and it's good that they're meeting with us and trying to make sure we don't have problems. But, we're all concerned. I don't think they realize just how big this is going to be. Last night, when Dr. Paul did his speech from the House floor, what he did is he went ahead and made it clear that, heck no, I think this opting out thing is great, and we're going to go ahead and promote that. Whoa, I pushed the wrong button. Sorry about that. This opting out thing is great. We're going to go ahead and make a big deal out of this. We're going to go ahead and he supports it. And, he gets away with saying anything he wants from the House floor and not get in trouble. I mean, he can just say, hey, man, this is what we're going to do. Well, one of the things that he did say is go ahead and videotaping people being fondled at the airport and the security check line. And I don't like that none too much. So I just want to give you a heads up there. You do what you want, but I'm just, that's one of their rules, So we'll see. I think that, rules are going to, we'll have people that'll be nice. The people will be cooperative. I mean, they'll be, pleasant, but they're not going to take a lot of crap. I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. Will the Phoenix police protect our right to complain? They kept focusing on, we want you to focus your attention, TSA. And I go, well, that's what we're doing, but are you going to provide us the opportunity to do that very thing? Because the city of Phoenix has jurisdiction right up to where you start the lines going into the screening process. So we're going, okay, we'll do whatever up to that. We'll make sure. You go to the front page of freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see the schedule for Dr. Paul here. And let me go ahead and put that up so you can see it visually here. But you see a lot of the schedule for him today. You'll see there's a link to all the quicks that are coming in from Drew. Drew Phillips, one of the videographers here, and he does a lot of work in the studio and so on. He is there now doing quick 1-2 minute quick videos of what's going on right now at ASU. So you go there and you can watch that or look at it a little bit later. And then we have this evening, Dr. Paul is going to be up at the Phoenician doing a Liberty on the Rocks. Is kind of a Republican thing. And they're all concerned because a lot of times, the guys go there and they put signs up and protest and such. And they are you going to do that when Dr. Paul comes? And probably. But what they'll do is I'm sure they'll be polite and such. And we have a lot of people that will be there. He's doing a lot of interviews around the valley here on radio and television and such. And then we're going to do our best to have our remote Comrex there. And we're going to try and work it out with Ian at Free Talk Live during the show. We can get a live interview with Dr. Paul for your guys' benefit. You just stay tuned to LRN.FM. Man, we're rocking and rolling and whatnot. You know, Ian, Mark over there is making sure that we have the opportunity to be able to give you what's happening live all around the country, and with the technology that's available to the activists now, we can do that from pretty much anywhere at any time, as long as we can just get it into the stream. That's what LRN offers. And that's another thing. On LRN, you go to the broadcasting, we have some of the guys here going, yeah, you know, we'll get our little FM transmitter and be our own little neighborhood radio station, and it's legal. Now, of course, they got all kinds of little rules, and they'll want to play with you, and you need to look that up. But, yeah, we're going to totally bypass the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. This is a whole sea change in how people are going to be represented. They're going to represent themselves. They're no longer this, not even, the only time they even go talk to Congress or write letters or document what they did or said to them is just so they can check that off the list. Because let me tell you how it goes from experience as a libertarian activist. Did you write a letter to your congressman? Did you meet with your state legislator? Did you file suit? Did you run for office? Did you go to court? Did you do? You know, I'm checked out, man. Check. I'm all checked out. But you go through this process to demonstrate, look, we went through the process. So we have an understanding here in Arizona. I think it's getting more and more understood by law enforcement that they really need our cooperation, our help more than they thought. Because last night after Dr. Paul did that speech from the House floor, all of a sudden, man, that was a starting pistol for everybody. Oh, we're going to go do something. And they need to know. And the firearms at the airport thing, you know, that's something we need to, I know there's going to be somebody, you know, it might be me. And it's legal to carry your firearm there. Will it be concealed? Well, it's legal to carry it concealed without a permit. So we may have firearms there. It may be open. I may have my kilt with a sword. I mean, you know, all these things had to be talked about. If you go to the front page of freedomsphoenix.com, you'll see the video that we threw together last night, late. Now, we just threw it. It's not perfectly synced up or anything. But you get the interview that I did with Nick Barnett, which was, Cop Block, you know, the top of the hour program. He's a young man that does that. He was at the meeting, took some notes, and we talked about it for about a half hour or more and gave you an idea of what was being said by both sides, us and the Phoenix police. Now, a lot of these things will apply across the country. It's worth listening to, and I think you should. Today's show, let me go ahead and give you what we got going on today. We have William Buport. Now, he's going to be one of the speakers at the Freedom Summit. Now, William Buport is, he's an officer in the U.S. Army, and he didn't like me going on what his position is and everything, but he was high up. And he's writes for Lou Rockwell a lot, and you can see his work there, and he's going to be talking about secession, you know, and how the Articles of Confederation was better than the Constitution. So that'll be interesting. Then at the top of the hour, we have Don Budeau coming on. He's going to be a speaker at the Freedom Summit also. And then at 2:30 in the last, well, our time, the last half hour of the show, Glenn Jacobs. You may know him as Kane from the WWE. And he's a good friend and a hardcore libertarian, a.k.a. Citizen X. You stay right there. We'll be right back with a really great show for you. Maybe some more cuts live of Dr. Paul with Brett.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, and Tempe, Arizona, where Dr. Paul is right now at Arizona State University. What I wanted to do is I'm just going to, we have William Buport online, and he's graciously allowed us to go for just a minute or so. I want to play for you what Dr. Paul did from the House floor yesterday. Let's go ahead and do that real quick so you can get an idea of what's going on.
I rise this evening to announce that I introduced some legislation today dealing with the calamity that we have found at our airports with TSA. Something has to be done. Everybody's fed up. The people are fed up. The pilots are fed up. I'm fed up. You know, I've come to this floor many times over the past many years and complained about the terrible foreign policy we've had, the terrible monetary policy we had, the excessive spending and the debt, and also the tax policy. But what we're doing and what we're accepting and putting up with at this airport is so symbolic of us just not standing up and saying, enough is enough. I know the American people are starting to wake up, but our government, those in charge, Congress as well as the executive branch, are doing nothing. Yes, they're talking about...
Yeah, and he goes on to say he's a big fan of this, opting out thing, and it's starting to build up to a point. It's things like this that bring about changes like what we're talking about with... my good friend, Bill Buport. Now, Bill, go ahead and help me out here. You know, there's a lot of things you're going to be talking about that's going to be, I guess this won't be lost on anybody, this issue. Am I correct?
No, I don't think so. I think it's really, it's the nice thing about this particular issue is that it's animated across the political spectrum. Whether you're a lefty or a righty or a collectivist or an individualist, you can find folks among them, mostly among our ilk, though, Ernie, who find this repulsive.
Repulsive is a good word. It's more than that. I mean, it's aside from the fact that the type of people that are going to be fondling you and so on, it's the mindset behind it. It's this idea that you have to appear naked before the king or, to travel, or you get groped by the king's men. I'm just going, this is much deeper understanding of a much larger problem. What would you think that problem is and how this is just a manifestation of it? What's being manifested?
Well, Ernie, what this whole thing leads to, and it's interesting the way you say naked before the king, because you and I both know that this present emperor and all the emperors before him for most of the 20th century don't have any clothes, and that your program, ever since you've been doing it, has been dedicated to the disrobing in front of the American people of why those clothes don't exist and why we have obeisance, allegiance, and pledging fealty to people who don't have our best welfare in mind, period. And I think what this also is, it's horrific, the groping, the porno scanner, all of that. But what it all comes down to me is that it's about conditioning. It's about making sure that submission is ultimate and complete, much like when you and I have the misfortune of traveling on an American airline today. When you and I are in that fuselage, we're at the mercy 100% of the time to federal regulations that are both foolish and one could say capricious in the way they're administered. If you talk badly to a stewardess, you'll find yourself in cuffs and maybe even a cage when you hit the ground. Or worse yet, if there's a U.S. Marshal on board, you may be making your way across the tarmac, and it'll shoot you in the back three times.
Don't laugh, man. I mean, it's likely that there is going to be some problems. That's one thing that we brought up with the people that were here from law enforcement here in Phoenix, is that we said, look, we've done this before. And there's always that one guy wearing the bandana that's, over there in his police issue boots. And they do, and we point out, this has happened all over the country. You go, look, that guy is the provocateur. That guy is, and all of a sudden he kind of gets behind the officers and he slips out through a security door. And we brought this up and said, look, we'll be more than happy to point out who we perceive to be the real threat, whether they're, just general public or us or somebody got in our ranks or what are you going to do? I mean, you'll have all these people say, oh, he's got a gun. This guy's got a sign. He's got his face half blue. He's wearing a V mask and, a kilt. And you'll go, oh, got to see ID. And we're going, we want that guy right there. Does our opinion mean anything to him? They weren't comfortable with that. That kind of took them by surprise. They didn't know what to say to that. You think they're around the country? Do you think there may be a concern, that a legitimate concern we might have for some kind of provocateuring going on?
I think that if you look at the ranks of the militia, the revolutionary organizations on both sides, if they ever have a meeting, you can be guaranteed that more than half the membership in that meeting, wherever it may be, is comprised of confidential informants, provocateurs, and government agent actuals who were there trying to provoke a number of things. I mean, you remember the Viper Militia. You remember a number of things like that. The government is always looking for these kind of mini Reichstags in which they can frame people. But, you know, I think it's worse than that, Ernie. If people have read my blog, which is at HezekiahWyman.com, or read my stuff on Lou Rockwell, you know that I don't have a very favorable view of the police. And there are many reasons for that, because I would contend that if it weren't for police and tax collectors, we would be living in a free country as we speak. But once you allow those two entities to exist from the local to the federal level, then, you know, the ultimate enslavement of everybody is on the table. But what's worse, this is anecdotal. I read an article on Lou Rockwell where this man talked about his pregnant wife being groped and crying after being groped. And he let loose and he yelled at one of the TSA agents. They cuff him. They put him in one of the cells in the jail. And it turns out with the story he related was completely different from the story that was filed in the police report. The bottom line is that no matter what happens with this, the police have the ability and the court system has the ability to make sure that their truth is the one that sees through and not that of what actually happened. So, you know, it's like you've talked about, Ernie, we live in a police state because a police state definitionally is where all citizens are subject to capricious arrest for various malum prohibitum crimes, but the police and all their compadres quite literally ultimately have a license to kill and get away with it.
Yeah, I tell you where you come in the Freedom Summit. I want you to go ahead and give yourself your short bio because, you know, whenever I do it, I always say too much. So what we're going to go ahead and do, I'll go ahead and have you give your short bio. But, you know, what really is going to be of interest to a lot of people there, and you'll get to talk about whatever you want to talk about, but you're starting to see why I always wait until just like 10 days or 14 days before we start posting exactly what everybody's going to be talking about. Because I'm going, are you kidding me? It's always some big giant woo-hoo going, what if we put it up last month or the month before or even last week? You know, this TSA thing wouldn't even been on the radar.
Exactly.
So this always happens. Everybody, and I know you and the speaker, well, what am I talking about? What are you going to have me do? What do you want to put on the thing? I need to have my speech. I need to tell people I'm going, look, man, I guarantee the entire planet will change in 2 days anyway. So, you know, just stop. So let's go ahead and I want you to go ahead and give out your own bio. And then, and we've been showing up on the video here, you know, your archive over at Lou Rockwell and such. And we got your picture up here, ain't you party? And then we'll go ahead and talk about what you want to share with the Freedom Summit. But let's go ahead and get your bio first.
Okay, thank you for that, Ernie. And by the way, it's an honor for you to have invited me to speak at the summit. And I really appreciate the opportunity to do so. My bio is very brief. I'm a retired Army officer. I retired to Idaho, and then I emigrated down here to Arizona, and I have been interested in a number of things. I am also a gunfighting instructor, a shooting instructor. I'm an itinerant writer. I've written for Lou Rockwell. I maintain my own blog, and of course, I also maintain a day job so that I can pay for my homeschooled family and such. And what I'm going to talk about on Sunday, the title of my presentation is The End of America, the Coming De-Sovietization of These United States.
Oh, yep. See, Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. Make sure you guys go check it out because it's going to be a rip-roaring good time. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and an independence declaring kind of guy, William Buford. We'll be right back.
May
and
well
now,
be dangerous.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
If it works, and it may well be dangerous to our health. You know, the way I see this, if this doesn't change, I see what has happened to the American people is we have accepted the notion that we should be treated like cattle. Make us safe, make us secure, put us in the barbed wire, feed us, fatten us up, and then they'll eat us. And we're a bunch of cattle, and we have to wake up and say, we've had it. I think this whole idea of an opt-out day is just great. We ought to opt out and make the point, get somebody to watch it, take a camera. It's time for the American people to stand up, shrug off the shackles of our government at TSA at the airport.
Oh man, that's a call too. So, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, they want to play, let's play. Well, a player, William Buepert. William Buepert is going to be at freedomsummit.com, and you guys go check it out. And he's going to be on Sunday along with the program with Stefan Molyneux from Toronto and a lot of the other great speakers. Butler Schaefer on that day. It's going to be kind of anarchist day. Well, you want to go to his blog, Hezekiah Wyman, and you'll see he's got some goodies there. One of them I got pulled up here is what is this? TSA joins the porn industry? You know, okay. Hezekiah Wyman. Why that's the name of your blog? Where does that come from?
April 19, 1775, Hezekiah Wyman was a long-haired individual of the age of 58 who missed his muster on the alarm list to go fight the Redcoats. He mounted his mare, and he was both a talented rider and a talented rifleman. He went in pursuit of Redcoats, and he went hunting Redcoats. He's going down the road. 400 meters down the road, he sees a red column coming his way. Gets off his horse, puts his horse perpendicular to the road, lays his rifle over the saddle, and starts to play plinko-pinko until they come within musket range of their respective brown besses. He hops back on his horse, goes a half mile down the road, dismounts again, lays the rifle over the saddle, and continues to do so and continues to harass the British forces for the next 2 days. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned in British dispatch as Death rides a pale horse because of his marksmanship.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, this is, you know, okay. You're going to be talking to the people at the Freedom Summit from this perspective. I know we met first time at Appleseed. You were one of the instructors.
Yep.
And it's interesting that Appleseed is just about, well, go ahead and explain Appleseed. I found it very refreshing, the entire experience. Why don't you go ahead and talk and tell the audience what Appleseed is?
Well, the Appleseed, real quick, and by the way, this weekend I will be at Buckeye teaching another Appleseed Rifle Clinic this Saturday and Sunday just outside of Phoenix, and any of your listeners are invited to come as walk-ons. We can sign you up. You'll have a great time. It's a two-day rifle clinic in which we teach marksmanship, and we teach you about the history of April 19th, 1775. And basically what we're trying to get across to folks is that there is a nexus, there is a connection between marksmanship, rifleman skills, and liberty. And the beauty of the Appleseed Project is that I tell the story of April 19th and my other instructors. We never talk about contemporary politics. We never talk about the Second Amendment. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the only instructors probably who doesn't talk about the Constitution because I don't think it's germane to what we're trying to get across. What we're trying to say is that there's this one historical precedent way back in the back yonder of our history that we can go to and we can tell stories to each other around the campfire to show us that true heroes reigned then, that there were men who knew their measure and men, as the founders went on to say, who would put their fortunes, their glory, and their honor to the test. And ultimately, to be free men, they put everything on the line. And that's the beauty of the Appleseed program. Plus, you get out there and you can shoot, and we teach you to shoot better, no matter whether you're a novice or an expert.
No, it was very entertaining. It was very instructive. It was low key. There was a lot of women and young people there. They get special discounts for women and children, and they go, and it's just,
they're free.
Yeah, it's, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, it's just, look, you know, a free society, let me tell you one common thing they have. The people know how to defend their liberty. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because if you don't, and you can't, well, then you don't have it.
Then you're a slave. And it was so wonderful when I saw that you had finally gotten Stefan to come down here. Because as a keynote speaker, you couldn't pick any better. And you and I have discussed the history of enslavement video, Free Domain Radio, and everything. Here I am plugging Stefan, but I think that he is just a wonderful adjunct to the whole liberty movement. But he really clarifies this stuff. He really stands up and says, you know, in the end, if you don't have self-ownership, you don't own yourself, and therefore you are beholden to others. Therefore, you are a slave. You know, it really gives the lie to limited government.
Well, yeah, okay, you can't just say that without defining that, okay? The lie of the limited government is kind of like an oxymoron thing. Go ahead and define what you're talking about.
Well, I will define it with a question. That question is this. I offer to anybody, I will buy you dinner if you come to me during the summit on Sunday and come to me after my talk and you show me an historical antecedent that shows that a government erected itself and did not expand its power, control, and grow larger.
Until it just, you know, topples over.
Yeah, that's my offer to your entire audience. Show me an historical precedent for limited government, and I'll buy you dinner.
I think your money's safe. You know, so what are you planning on doing this TSA thing? You got a plan?
You know, I'm not going to fly. I'm just not going to do it. And the conversation we had just a few minutes ago about the police, even if we try to do the right thing, and I hope that you're very careful on opt-out day, they are the victors because they own the print media, they own all the media, they own the federal government and the local governments and such, and they will always do things that only benefit their own expansion and control.
Yeah, that's one thing that we tried. I don't know if you knew we had the meeting here with the Phoenix police.
I saw that. As a matter of fact, you sent me the video and I watched it.
And you kind of got the idea. We brought up a lot of the issues. I mean, you know, we were talking about everything, and they were uncomfortable. You know, they go, well, it's case by case. I'm going, okay, well, you're going to have 40 cases of.
Well, these are people who look at liberty as a case by case because they look at liberty as an exception instead of the rule.
Oh, that's such a good way of putting that.
Because remember, all cops are simply concierges who are looking to usher relatively free citizens into a less free condition in their cages.
Wow. You know, I that's a good way of putting it, is they see liberty as an exception to their rule. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
I'm going to steal that.
Oh, please do. Please do. Remember, all governments, Brian Miller stole this from me too because he liked it so much. All governments are simply men swimming in a pool of gasoline in the dark who try to illuminate their way with matches.
Yeah, I gotta repeat this. I want everybody to rip this off, okay? William Bupert inspired, okay? This is what it is. You know, to the authority, liberty is the exception to their rule.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man, that's a freaking billboard, man. You know, that's how this stuff happens when we do our signs. You know, come up with something like that, it's like, I can feel a new sign coming. You know,
well,
here
here's
we
another
go.
One for you for TSA, closing the barn door since 2001.
Yeah, again, I think you should get busy making your sign, man. So the Freedom Summit is going to provide you an opportunity to share your thoughts with the people. And I'm just wondering, you know, they come away from this with what? They're going to say, okay, I'm not going to advocate for any government anymore. I want state secession. I want to do away with the state and at all levels. I want to get down to, you know, my HOA. I mean, what are you hoping they'll come away with?
Oh, Ernie, here's what I'm hoping you do. I hope they come away with all the things you just listed. But what I'm also hoping that you do is that because of what you do for students and allow them to come in at reduced rates, things like that, I'm hoping that what Ernie does is he strikes the match for the new Lysander Spooner, for the new William Wilberforce, for the new abolitionist out there, for the new anti-slavery person who takes it upon themselves to learn, to read, to listen, to really immunize themselves against this status disease that we have, and in the future ensure that your children and grandchildren, my children and grandchildren, live freer than we do today. To me, that's the mission statement of the Freedom Summit.
And we're really happy that you're coming. It's going to make it a much more richer experience for everyone. And Friday, we have a special program. It's $20 for people just to come. It's a kind of a meet and greet debate forum. And what will we be talking about? I don't know. Everybody wanted to know. They wanted to know. It might be TSA. You see why we wait? I'm telling you, man, news is always being made, especially here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, well, you know, we got that. You're in southern Arizona here, so hopefully you don't have too far to go. And we look forward to seeing you. You going to bring your lovely wife with you?
I am, but she'll be there Saturday night because she has another event that she has to go to, but she will be there.
Great. William Buppert. Just to put it, William Buppert, B-U-P-P-E-R-T, in Google, and boom, all his goodies explode all over the internet. Hey, Bill, thanks for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, thank you, Ernie. Same here. I look forward to seeing you again.
We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.